Back to item number one, and Mr. Manconi, perfect timing. We'll ask Mr. Manconi and his staff to prepare at the desk, and we'll deal with item number one. And as I mentioned, item two will be the Lansdowne Park, and then item three will be the transit-oriented development housing options, which is a very exciting report. I believe we have a PowerPoint presentation.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of committee. I'm going to be providing you with another update on our LRT project, and joining me is Mr. Michael Morgan, who many of you know. He's the director of Votrain Construction. Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to report today that RTG has been doing some major progress on all fronts. I'm going to be giving you a detailed update on all the elements that we've been tracking. They've moved the yardstick forward significantly, and if things continue in this fashion, we will be very confident. We continue to be confident that we're going to be able to have an RSA date by the end of Q2, as we've talked about in the past. Mr. Mayor, the elements that you've seen before are listed on this this slide here, and I'm going to be going through all of them. Everything from fleet availability to station occupancy, the tunnel ventilation system, the testing of our control system, our operations center, the assurance program, and the end-to-end practice running, which, as you know, you've heard me say before, is the practice that leads to the 12 days of continuous running, which I will be talking about in my presentation. And I'll give you an update on winter operations and what we've done in that regard. Mr. Mayor, as many of you have seen through the various social media platforms, comments from yourself, your offices, the public, there have been a lot of train movements out there. It's creating a very positive buzz with the community. We can't go anywhere without someone talking to me about how many trains they've seen out there. So that is a very good thing, and I want to acknowledge that RTG has done a very good job in moving forward. And we are in that space that we want to be in terms of testing and commissioning. There are some critical days and some critical weeks ahead of us, but the team is focused on RTG's side and on our side in terms of operational readiness. I want to start off, Mr. Mayor, with a short video. This is obviously filmed a couple weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, and it demonstrates the various train movements throughout this part of the segment of the railroad. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to report that all 34 vehicles have been used for testing and commissioning, so the entire fleet has been built. They're going through their final acceptance process, some minor troubleshooting and testing, and I'll expand further on and later on in the presentation, but we had 20 trains operating simultaneously in various configurations, with 15 being the number that we're striving for in terms of double train setups. And then for service, you need 30 vehicles or 15 double trains, as we've talked about in the past, and 4 spare vehicles will be either on standby or in maintenance mode. So the entire fleet is built. It's going through its final testing and paces. With respect to the train movements, I want to reiterate that it has been from Tunney's to Blair, is throughout the entire system, including the tunnel. And I will make a comment about today's cover story in the Ottawa Citizen about the tunnel leaking and so forth. 4 things on that. Number one, the NCRs that are listed, it is a $2.1 billion project. I would be concerned if we didn't have any NCRs listed. You want to find those issues, you identify them.
Explain what an NCR is.
A non-compliance report, so it's a log, like when you're building your house, that you go through and there's an issue or deficiency. This is a $2.1 billion project, and if we didn't have any of those, we should be very, very concerned. Specific to that, it has to do with how dowels are installed in the tunnel, and they did corrective action, they did grout, injecting grouted and sealing and so forth, and we have followed up in that regard. Secondly, you're building a tunnel underneath the downtown core, underneath a waterway. I just want to remind you of that. Thirdly, all tunnels leak, and I've been in many of them around the world. You can go to Boston, you can go to Chicago, you can go to New York, Rome. They all have water infiltration. And lastly, you have 2 sump pump systems in our tunnel, which all tunnels have sump pump systems to collect the rainwater from gravity or minor leaks or snow on the vehicles and so forth. So this concern about the tunnel leaking, I just wanted to be very frank and open in that regard and address that today. So the train movements have been from Tunney's to Blair, including the tunnels. Mr. Mayor, the second thing I'm very happy to announce is we now have occupancy on 9 of the 13 stations. And a word about the stations. These aren't just platforms. These are multi-million dollar stations. To put this in perspective, this is the equivalent of opening up 9 buildings concurrently. They're multi-million dollar facilities with architectural finishes, artwork, with complex systems, subsystems, train control equipment, elevators, escalators, and so forth. So the stations that now have final occupancy, which we can now move in for operational readiness and testing, is Blair, Sirville, Tremblay, Lees, U-Ottawa, Herdman, Bayview, Pimisi, and Tunney's Pasture. The remaining 4 are minor in nature. There are 2 that need some electrical louvers, final commissioning and testing for ventilation, and 1 needs a manual louver. And then there's a final fit-up on Saint-Laurent, which is minor in nature. So those are the underground stations. Those are literally days away. And I want to thank Frank Bedin and his building inspection team. They've been phenomenal. They've put an amazing amount of resources out there to ensure that these stations meet all of the building codes so we can move forward. So 9 of 13, and the rest are literally around the corner. The tunnel ventilation system, that's your critical system that deals with smoke or fire, heaven forbid if that were to occur. It is going very, very well. I've got some photos of a final smoke test that we've conducted. We're literally in the final stages of some test reports, engineering approvals, and so forth. And this picture is of the tunnel that we never talk about. It's the other tunnel that exists, which is connects the storage and maintenance facility to the main line. This is where your trains are deployed in the morning and come back in the evening. And I share this photo with you to show the complexity of testing. This tunnel does not have mechanical ventilation. It uses gravity. It's got a series of louvers over top of it. And to the right, you see Ottawa Fire personnel, who are the only ones, obviously, that are permitted to do what's called a controlled hot smoke test. And what you're looking for is what you see in this next picture. The smoke is being drawn out of the tunnel to those louvers and openings within the connector tunnel. So just an example of some of the testing and commissioning and the complexity behind the scenes. The train control system, another major check mark. All 34 vehicles have the functioning and tested Thales communication-based train control system that you heard me talk over and over again about. The testing is underway. We just did a final software upgrade and it went very, very well. It's going through some regression testing, which it needs to. There are no issues and no concerns. We have 29 of 34 Thales, that's the supplier of that control system, safety certificates. The remaining five, there are no major issues with them. They need to go through what's called a system electrical load test, which I'll talk about in a few moments. So we are trending very well on the train control systems. Those train movements that you see out there, including today, there's, I believe, already three double trains deployed this morning. They're running on full communication-based train control system. So to make that crystal clear for everyone, the system is being operated in full automated mode. The operator is in the cab at all times. But those trains are moving from Tunney's to Blair, meeting their train headway times and so forth as designed. So we're into final end-to-end testing, performance testing of the system. With respect to the control center, this is where everything is seen and viewed and managed. The commissioning is going very well. There are about four minor software modifications that Mr. Morgan and Mr. Charter are working on with RTG to finalize, and they're associated with building management systems controls from that control center. The testing is finalized, it's being finalized, and there's a handover plan so that we get full control of the system. We are now controlling the entire railroad from the OC Transport Operations Control Center, and those of you that are on Transit Commission that were there for the tour, you saw that. And so it looks like this. This is the inside of the control center. To the right is bus operations. To the left, I'm going to zoom in on that screen, is the train control operations. And what you have is those computers have full line of sight onto every single activity, movement, light that's on, fan that's on, train, elevator, escalator, and so forth. Alarms get pushed to this center and so forth. So it's a busy spot, full communication to every single operator and throughout the tunnel, throughout the stations, and so forth. On the bottom is your grid of your schematic of your railroad. To the top are the cameras, and off to the right is a sample of a screen of some of the functionality that they can manage systems and subsystems within the control center. So that is now live and being used for operations. Number six is the power system testing. This is a load test of the electrical system. To what we do is you load up portions of the network with multiple trains, and you stress test the power system to ensure that it can draw everything it needs to from multiple vehicles and can handle the loads. We are not concerned about this one, but it's a necessary thing that we need to do to get another check in the box to ensure that everything is robust and working the way it's supposed to be working. We've had no issues on power to date, so we believe this one should go well also. The system assurance, that's your independent safety auditor, working hand-in-hand with RTG and with OC Transpo. Things are going well. Did a very important field walkthrough of the system. He was pleased with what he saw. We are trending very well on all the documentation. There's, I believe, 24 macro report, and then behind that is literally thousands of pages of documentation. We have done a deep dive on that, and things are also trending well, and there's no major concerns in that regard. Number eight is practice plan running. This is, in plain English, studying for the final exam. This is the lead up to the 12 days of consecutive running that RTG needs to do as the final check. So what's been going on in this regard is, as I've said before, we've used all 34 vehicles, so they've been on the track. We've had everything from 17 singles and two doubled vehicles. We went up to 20 single vehicles, which was very important. That's a stress test of the system to make sure the train control systems can handle all of those multiple trains going over the systems to pick up where they are, their locations, and so forth. That went very, very well. But it also demonstrates that it can handle a high frequency of trains. Remember, you're built for 30 to 50 years of capacity, so you can get down to 90-second headways. So that's almost approaching subway volumes in terms of frequency. So that 20 trains going from Tunney's to Blair was a major milestone for the entire program. So we're now transitioning to double vehicles, and that's what you're going to see starting this week. We had six out last night. We've already got three out this morning. That's going to increase, and we're going to mix it up also with doubles and singles and start doing that load test in various parts of the system. and that will migrate into 15 double vehicles operating during a scheduled period the way they're supposed to when we go into full service. Winter operations, we did a deep dive on this with RTM and RTG, and I can tell you that the RTM board also ordered RTM to make sure that they got all available resources they needed to ensure that things improve. They have done that. There's new equipment that has rolled in, both from a lease perspective and a purchase perspective. We had a deep dive on that. We also reviewed the plan, the modified plan, yesterday with them. And we have our rail experts that have run winter rail operations reviewing the plan and giving their independent assessment to me personally on that. So this is trending well also. Operational readiness is also very important to us. You've heard a lot, both on social media and in the media, it's mainstream media, about the Tunney's Pasture stress test with the bus operations. We did that this Sunday. Over 200 staff were there. I know Chair Hubley was there, and the local councillor was there observing it. And what this is important because Tunney's is your busiest bus to rail transfer. It's probably one of the busiest in North America. Chicago compares in terms of some of the volume. To put it in perspective, about 160 to 190 buses an hour will be streaming into that location, transferring people from bus to rail. Blair is very busy, and then in Herdman is also very busy. But until you open up stage two, we need to keep a careful eye on this one because of the volume. So I'm happy to report there were no major issues. We teased out things that need adjustments. So there's some bus stop and some shelters that need to be moved, and the traffic signals that control the movements next to the station. This is a very short video. We, like I said, we had 200 staff member there. We had a bunch of technical and planning staff there. We also had drone video footage. So this is an accelerated video footage of what was going on at this location. So you're seeing there different bus configurations, 40-footers, articulated buses, double-decker buses. And what you're looking for is that there's continuous movement throughout the operation. And then there's also a subset of scenarios where they stalled buses and did mock accidents and things like that. So nothing major, but it was a worthwhile exercise. And before all this, we obviously do the computer modeling and the manual modeling to see where we need to go. The other readiness element is taking care of our customers. We had a very good meeting at Transit Commission a few weeks ago where we talked about the Ready for Rail campaign. We reminded everyone that it is about the customer. We need to take care of them. We have a great plan. We're going to have hundreds of staff personnel out there watching over people, making sure that they know how the system works and assisting them. Council, every member of council should have received their package. I know Chair Hubley and the West End councillors have a session being organized for their residents, and in the East End, other councillors, Luloff and Dudas, and I believe Tierney are also doing East End workshops, and Councillor Blay. I think those are great things. We're ready and available to assist in any way we can. The handover requirements, you've seen this before, but just to remind everyone, we need all the safety documentation. It's required under the project agreement. All of the construction work needs to be done. Minor deficiencies or minor things, just like your house building, are permitted. We need the 12 days of consecutive running. They need to pass that. The safety auditor compliance reports, the operational readiness on all fronts, including maintenance. With respect to a revenue service availability to date, we do not have one right now. We're working with RTG, and as I've said at the last meeting, we'll release that when we have one that they believe they're very confident in, and we are. But to reiterate, we are still tracking to RSA by the end of Q2 of 2019. So the next steps towards revenue service availability is monitoring all our critical elements that I've outlined today, continuing our operational readiness program. And Mr. Mayor, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge OC Transpo staff. While the excitement is out there for the trains and the stations and so forth, There are thousands of OC Transpo staff that are working, continuing with our bus operations, which is improving every single day. The complaints are down. We've got hundreds of people working on the logistics to launch this service. And again, a reminder that every single facet of the operation changes. Hundreds of bus stops, hundreds of signs, maps, websites, and so forth need to be changed. That's all being planned by our dedicated OC Transpo staff. The other critical piece is planning and logistics for workforce adjustment and changes to bookings and so forth. And I want to thank Clint Crabtree, Mr. Mayor. He's the president of ATO 279. He and his executive have been great to work with every change in the RSA and the adjustments we've had to do. They've been very, very supportive, and he's been working with his membership to be very cooperative in adjusting things. So thanks to him for that. Continue to provide oversight of RTG, the Ready for Rail campaign, and review the RSA details when they become available for us. With respect to where we are with RTG on costs and so forth, again, we're continuing to use our project agreements. We have not issued any payments to them, and we're continuing to track all our incremental costs, and we will deduct those that we're entitled to as the project agreement permits us to do so that we can recover our costs. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That concludes the presentation. Happy to take any questions.
Great. Thank you. Very thorough report. Councillor Hubley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Manconi and Mr. Morgan, for that excellent presentation. And yeah, I want to thank you as well for mentioning the staff at OC Transpo, because as we saw Sunday at the test, but also over the last couple of months, the amount of work that's going into getting ready. I think it's fantastic to finally have a very positive LRT report come to FEDCO. I think that's a milestone. There's a lot of good news in there. I think one thing you didn't mention, Mr. Manconi, but for the benefit of the committee, one of the things OC Transpo had to do was what you call double booking to get ready for this. So could you maybe give us a minute on what all is involved with that, so that they know some of the big preparations being done?
Certainly. So with the RSAs not being, the dates not being achieved, whenever you have a shift in the transfer going, you know, we're going to go to multimodal versus just straight buses, operators need to book their work well in advance. And I've told you before many times it takes up to 6 months to plan a booking, schedule changes, not only for the operators but also for the customers. And where ATU 279 has been very supportive is we've had to make adjustments on the fly, which means we are keeping employees longer, the ones that knew were eventually going to lose their jobs, but they also had to book. We were planning for them to book based on bus and rail, but as we delayed, we had to go just straight bus operations. So we condensed two bookings into one, and we did that over a weekend, which before, it's only been done once before, and that was unfortunately because of a strike, but the union has been supportive of that, and the employees came in on the weekends. Yes, they get their usual payment for that, but it's impacting yet again their weekends. So the union has been supportive, and we've squeezed two rounds of bookings into a condensed period.
Thank you. I thought that was worth noting. The other thing I want to ask you about is you mentioned earlier about the citizen report, about the non-compliance reports. There was also some attention on local radio about the water leakage into the tunnel, for example, in the stations. It mentions both. And there was a reference to needing hip waders to get in. Could you provide some context about how much this water leakage is that we're expecting?
So I think the hip water one, I didn't hear it, but I can imagine it's the one which I've clarified a numerous times, is there was a heavy rainstorm in the west portal. There was a sump pump, a construction sump pump at the portal that was pumping water. And like any other construction site across Ottawa, whenever the sump pumps get clogged, which they do on a heavy rainfall, it caused the water to build up in that location. An operator or a RTG employee went in with hip waders on, unclogged the pump, and the water drained away. I've been through the tunnel many, many times. The trains are going through the tunnel all the time. Where there was some of those infiltration points, yes, there was a bit of water on the bottom of the track. I've even shown you pictures in the past of that. With respect to any area where the waterproofing membrane did not pass, they do injection grouting. They've got the most expensive and best grouting in the world being used here in Ottawa because RTM owns the risk. And if the system fails, they don't get their money, and there's dire consequences to them. So it's in their best interest to make sure that it's solid and the membrane is doing what it needs to do. But as I've said over and over again, there's minor leakage in any tunnel anywhere in the world, and there's nothing significant. Otherwise, we wouldn't be running trains through that.
Thank you. And in closing, Mr. Mayor, I just think it's important that with these non-compliance reports, we hear about what the problem was, but we don't always hear what the solutions were. And most of these reports, Mr. Manconi, if I'm correct, everything gets responded to or some sort of an answer is attached there as to what we're doing to fix that issue. So it's worth following up with you if anybody has any questions about non-compliance. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hubley. Councillor Dudas, please.
Thank you for that presentation, and I can attest to the fact that excitement is certainly building for the train to launch and seeing all the trains. So thank you for all the work you've done, as well as OC Transpo and RTG. I know that you've done testing for operations at Tunney's, and I was just curious as to if you're still intending to do so at Blair to see what the load would be and how operations would flow and when you intend to do that.
Yes, I believe it's, I don't know if it's the date has been picked, but yes, the intent is to do that also. We've done Herdman, we've done Tunney's, and Blair is the last one that we have to do.
And you'll let the East End councillors know that date, Mr. Michael?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. Councillor Deans, if you want to take the seat.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to understand the RSA date. I thought, as part of the contract, RTG was required to give us, within a specific time frame, a new handover date. And then, of course, if they don't meet that, there's another penalty. So when are they required to give us a new RSA date?
So the last one was March 31st. So they have 60 days after that to give us a new date.
So the end of May, they have to, by the end of May, they have to give us a new date?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And I just want to understand the winter testing, because you made a comment about winter testing is going well, but of course we don't really have any snow. So how will we be satisfied that these vehicles will run in winter conditions? How can you test that without winter conditions?
Well, we actually have had winter testing all winter long, and we all know the story behind that one stuck vehicle. I'm not going to go over that because I've explained it 100 times. But I do have video footage, Councillor, if you want me to share it with you, of the last storm. It was on a Friday. We had 7 centimeters of wet snow in about an hour and a half. There was total gridlock across the entire city because everybody was stuck in traffic, and our trains were running through that entire snowstorm without an issue. That was after all those stories of the vehicle that was stuck in the snow. But to reiterate, you don't have to believe me. You just go on Twitter, YouTube. There are videos of trains running through the snow the entire winter season without any issues. We had one stuck train that I've explained as to what occurred there. And I would be a fool to launch without knowing that those trains can operate in winter conditions. They're contractually required to do that. They've been tested in winter conditions. And as I said before, I don't worry about the trains running on the tracks in winter conditions. The things that we should be worried about, and we've had a lot of discussions with RTM and RTG, is ice buildup on the catenary system, the electrical wires.
Thank you for that. We had also heard some reports of troubles with coupling and uncoupling of the trains. Can you confirm if the trains are being successfully coupled and uncoupled and tested the entire length of the track?
I don't know who's saying we have trouble with coupling and uncoupling trains. We've coupled and uncoupled thousands of trains for months.
thousands of trains? Because the last time I asked, it said it was a bit of an onerous issue to couple and uncouple those trains. It's not a simple maneuver.
Correct, but we've been testing the coupling since those trains rolled off the assembly line 3-4 years ago. We've been coupling and uncoupling. I think people need to be careful as to what they're sharing, because the issue on the coupling is, what I said last time is, once a train is coupled, if you decouple them, the systems need to ensure that they're talking, so the talus systems and all those subsystems need to be carefully aligned. So, but part of the testing is coupling and uncoupling trains. And when I say thousands, it's because there's 34 trains and we've been doing movements for years out on the line. So I don't know what you're being provided in terms of issues. I haven't said we've had troubles coupling and uncoupling trains. We had six coupled trains last night out on the system. There has been a lot of testing about the CBTC system, ensuring that train one and train two, when they're coupled together, speak to each other. And that's part of the regression testing and all the testing and the software upgrades that I've been talking about. The coupling mechanisms are working fine.
Okay, and when do we expect to start the 12-day end-to-end run testing?
RTG has to give us that date. They want to move to as many coupled trains as possible, get to 15 of those to do the practice running, and once they're confident with that, then they want to give us a date for the 12 days.
So no sense of that yet?
No sense.
Okay, those are all my questions. Thank you.